this season at Kendrick Golf Course.
Your community bank, check. Your construction experts, check. Hi, this is Melissa Murray, and no matter what your construction needs are, First Northern Bank of Wyoming checks all the boxes. From purchasing a lot to the construction process through the long-term financing. Stop in and see us at 29 North Gould Street or call us at 673-7777 to get started today. We are First Northern Bank, and we are your community bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 218-6083.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Good morning and welcome to Public Pulse. This morning, I am joined by Museum at the Bighorns Visitor Services Coordinator, Mr. Chip King. Good morning, Chip, and welcome back.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be back.
Go ahead and pull that mic just a little close to you. Now, how have you been?
Really good. You can hear it in my voice. It's a little rough, but... Right. You know, it got the crud that everybody else has.
Tis the season.
It is. Oh, yeah.
This morning I woke up, I was just a little too tired, even for a Monday, you know, and I thought, I might be coming down with something. Who knows? Now, the museum at the Bighorns has announced plans to relocate to the historic Woolworth Building at 171 North Main Street in downtown Sheridan. Executive Director Danny Stuckel said the museum will temporarily close after the holiday, and that was December 16th. That was a holiday open house. Now, this won't reopen in the new downtown location until the spring of 2025. This is a lot, Chip, because it's not just trying to get all 30,000 items cataloged, inventoried, stored, and shipped.
Right.
We got work to do on the building.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So let's start with the building. Have they decided what they're going to do yet?
Danny is still working on that, working with some exhibit design firms. And our footprint inside that building has been determined. And our storage area downstairs has been determined. We're just waiting for some other people to get, move on with their stuff and get their items packed out. And so we're just kind of hanging tough at the place up on Fifth Street still.
You know what's really interesting is there are actually firms out there that specialize in this
right.
kind of thing.
Right, yeah.
That really kind of surprises me.
Yeah, as I said last time I was on, I've never done museums, and so this whole thing has been a learning experience for me. Like you, never knew there were firms out there that this is all they do. They work on exhibits, yeah.
I mean, could you imagine just going to work and figuring out how we're going to display something? Like, that's your purpose.
Yeah, yeah.
That actually sounds like a pretty fun job. I'm not going to lie to you. That kind of seems like it would be kind of cool. Now, there are approximately 30,000 items in the museum's inventory. How's packing going?
You know, that has been another really great learning experience for myself and for Danny, because up until now, Danny hadn't, laid eyes on every single item either. And so, yeah, we're going through, we're opening every single box, seeing what's in there, taking stock of it, comparing what... it says, this shoe is number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And yeah, okay. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on the sheet. Check onto the next item. And box by box, we're just going through and laying hands on everything.
Wow. Wow. What's the favorite thing that you've found so far?
Wow.
Your personal one.
You know, there was, in one of the storage rooms, it's a huge, I don't know, it's 4 foot by 2 foot, and it is a handmade relief map of the Bighorns.
Whoa.
And on it, and the history of it, it was a high school instructor, after school project from 1939 to 1941. And these kids out of Plaster of Paris made a relief map that goes from the Montana border down to just south of Buffalo. Well, south of KC, and it's all the bighorns. And so a lot of the roads aren't what we now see. And so that is really cool. It is super cool to see, you know, treasures like that. I mean, that's a big one.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's a big one. But yeah, I think really that has been, and some of the old maps, don't get me wrong, the old maps are cool, but that one is, that one's pretty special.
That would be. I mean, have you found anything where you kind of had to do a double take and ask yourself, why hasn't this been on display?
Oh, you know, I think we have, to put a, you know, to jar the memory enough. I mean, you go through however many tens of thousands of things that we've looked at, it would be tough to name just one, but yeah, we found things that it's like, where did this come from? You know, mm-hmm. how long has this been here? Another one that we found, it was a nondescript box, and we open it up, and this was not cataloged, and I wish I could remember the gentleman's name, but it was letters from a World War II vet when he was serving to his family, his Purple Heart, a flag that flew on the ship that he, you know, went back and forth on.
Oh, wow.
And it was just sitting, and nobody knew it was there.
Completely obscured, just
yes.
Set off to the side.
Yeah, it was just, you know, the proverbial in a dark corner in a box. And to, you know, we've run into a few things like that, and absolutely amazing and thrilling and stories. I mean, these letters, I mean, there's a story to this individual and his family that lived here. And unfortunately, sadly, it just ends up, yeah, you know, we knew nothing of it. And so we're now able to get that into our inventory, make sure that we know that it's there. And if, you know, an exhibit comes up that is, you know, veteran specific or World War II or, you know, the home front or whatever, we've got something. We have a story with something there. So, yeah, things like that, absolute treasures to find.
What an incredible find.
Yeah.
Did your heart skip a beat a little?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you do. Get a little
chills, yeah.
Yeah, a little goosebump now. And so, yeah, absolutely a great find, a great story. And, I mean, you know, thank goodness that the family thought, hey, this is something that, you know, that we're not going to be able to keep track of. You know, the grandkids, great-grandkids, whatever the generation might be, they may not have the interest, but it may not be on exhibit 24/7, but at least now it has a home and that story can be told.
And that veteran's memories preserved.
Exactly. Exactly.
Absolutely amazing. What a great find. That is a great find. That, how incredible is that? Now, how's the inventory looking? How far along would you say you guys are? Because, boy, 30,000 items.
Right.
And you're coming across things like that, which I'd have spent a day on it, Chip. I'd have found that and I'd have been like, well, this is what I'm doing today.
Yeah, exactly. We have been through everything now once and kind of going back through it now, refreshing, even just after a few weeks. I mean, you see so many items and you lose track of them in your mind.
Yeah.
And so going through it now a second time and it's like, okay, this would make a great exhibit. Let's set this off to the side. This would make a real great exhibit. Let's set this off to the side. Oh, you know what? This is more clothing. It's not textiles. Let's get it with the military uniforms. And so now Danny's really getting into the, we need to house this with this. We need to house this with this. And then again, that's where, you know, a great education that I'm receiving from, you know, from Danny is how things are classified, why they're classified that way. I was completely shocked. I didn't realize that, I'll use Sam Mavarakis as an example. We have stuff of Sam's, and we don't keep this item with, you know, we don't keep clothes with maybe his fly rod or something like that, because they are two completely different items. So Sam Mavarakis does not have a box up at the museum. Sam Mavarakis might have three or four boxes up at the museum. Yeah. And so it is really, is it three-dimensional? Is it an object? Is it three-dimensional? Is it clothing? Is it, you know, was it mom's, you know, grandma's Afghan or something like that? So they're all split up that way.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And yeah, Danny really, boy, she knows her stuff.
Yeah.
And we couldn't have gotten luckier having somebody with her background and education coming in to sit down, inventory.
Right.
And preserve these items for
us.
You know, geez, if you're going to have a big move like this, which could damage items. I mean, let's be honest there. I mean, some of these things, even just coming out of into the open air, could really damage some of them or lead to long-term damage.
Right.
And so we got lucky there having someone come in who understands what needs to be done. And how to move these very precious items.
Exactly.
So are we using like the big wooden boxes that you kind of see in TV?
You know, not with what we've got. We have it all. I mean, everything is in a box, you know, just an acid-free museum box. And we've got it all sorted now. We're going to do the old moving, you know, the green duct tape on these boxes, blue duct tape on these boxes. So when we do actually get the chance to move them, okay, this goes over here, this goes over here. And we're trying to do all the organizational work on the front end. That way, when we actually move it, it can all just go nice, smooth, easy peasy.
You know, Chip, I'm not going to lie. When she first gave us the reopening date, I thought, gosh, you know, That's pretty far out there.
That's a long ways out there.
But now here we are, spring 2024. I'm going, I don't know if she's going to have time to get everything done.
Yeah. We're not in the building. We don't have walls up or anything like that yet. So, yeah, that's doing all of this work on the front end, I think, really is going to save us on the back end.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Well, and you said that they know what they're going to be doing in the building itself.
Yes.
But it just, the work hasn't started as of yet. But
right,
the plans are still being.
Yeah, the plans are, you know, I'll say they're mostly fleshed out, you know. We've got a really good working skeleton at the very least. And, we're just chomping at the bit just like everyone else, you know. I mean, we've got other tenants in the building that, you know, they're chomping at the bit too, so.
Well, I think she found the right guy for the job, because I'd still be sitting there with that box going through every single little letter like a kid cleaning his room and finding treasures. All right. We'll have more with the museum at the Bighorns right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM Sheridan.
Ever wondered what makes First Federal Bank and Trust unique? We're a mutual bank, which means our focus is on you. Unlike other banks, we don't pay shareholders, we pay our community. At First Federal Bank and Trust, your financial interests drive our decisions. Bank with us and experience the mutual bank difference, where the power of community fuels your financial success. First Federal Bank and Trust is Sheridan's only mutual bank. Member FDIC.
Wake up and smell the savings, beverage lovers, because at your locally owned McDonald's, they have your beverage cravings covered with any size coffee for $1. That's right. Whether you're a small, medium, or large kind of coffee lover, you can enjoy your favorite cup of joe without breaking the bank for a buck. But hold on to your straws. Quench your thirst any time of the day with any size soft drink for $1.29. McDonald's. Treat yourself to a sip-tastic experience. Sheridan, Buffalo, and Gillette.
Face it, you don't want to do your own plumbing and heating work or repair. You need a professional, and that is exactly what you will get if you work with Rapp Plumbing and Heating. Being fully licensed, bonded, and insured, you can rest assured that they will take care of your repairs and maintenance in the very best way possible. Call Rapp Plumbing and Heating at 429-1196 and rest easy knowing it'll be done right. This is Dan Rapp with Rapp Plumbing and Heating. And as we like to say, if you find a leak, let me take a peek.
You hear about the wearing way of vehicle buying, but what does it mean? It means stepping onto their lot without the weight of pressure on your shoulders. It means finding the perfect vehicle without feeling rushed or pushed. At Waring, Sheridan Chevrolet, their priority is taking care of you long after the sale. In fact, their commitment's just starting. The Waring team are your neighbors and your friends and members of our community. Don't settle for ordinary when you can experience the extraordinary. Discover the Waring way of vehicle buying. WaringSheridan.com.
This public service announcement sponsored by Pilch Engineering, providing landfill engineering services to Wyoming.
Hello, Sheridan. My name is Cutter Hewlett, and I'm a member of the Sheridan High School We the People team. In preparation for the national We the People competition in Washington, D.C., our team would like to invite the community to a mock We the People hearing on Friday, April 5th at 2:30 p.m. in the Inner Circle Room at the Sheridan Public Library. This event is free and open to the public. Friday, April 5th at 2:30 p.m. Thanks, and go Bronx.
Morning, and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting, and this morning I'm having a good time in here speaking with the museum at the Bighorns Visitor Services Coordinator, Chip King. Now, in the first part of the show, we talk about the museum's ongoing big move up to Main Street. Everyone's really looking forward to that. Fantastic location. The traffic is going to be substantial, I think, coming through.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everyone's going to want to see what that place looks like within the first probably 2 years.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to that just for, I mean, foot traffic alone. Up here... on Fifth Street, unfortunately, numbers show that that is the least used exit.
Wow.
And our foot traffic in the museum would really prove that out.
Yeah. But even though the museum is closed during this process, that doesn't mean that the programs have stopped. Chip, can you tell us about History Happy Hour? This was kind of your brainchild, right?
You know, Danny was the one that actually presented it, but I've been left in charge of making sure that it continues forward, and we took a few months off, you know, Christmas time, first of the year, all that kind of stuff, and got it back up and running. We had one down at Flagstaff. Mark Dempel was generous enough to let us use his space, and we talked about some of the floods that Sheridan has had. And the next one that we're working on is going to be up in Story, and April 19th, I believe that's a Friday. And we're going to be up there and still trying to nail down a location. But yeah, it's come up, talk about Story, your stories about Story, how, why, where it came about, all that.
So the whole town's going to be the subject.
Yep, exactly.
How's the turnout been?
You know, really good. The very first one we did up there at the museum, it was talking about the Ritz and the fire at the Ritz. And so, I mean, that was 50, 60 people, but a lot of...
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of the firemen, though. And they actually were able to bring back some of the guys that worked on that fire. And then the second one that we did was out at Tongue River Valley, and... That was a smaller audience, maybe 20 people, something like that. But it was a great conversation, just talking about, I mean, the ranching, the sawmill, all of that kind of stuff that takes place all out in the Tongue River Valley. And so, you know, now we're looking at doing Story. It will be May. We're going to be doing Bighorn, same thing. Why is Bighorn there? What's the story behind Bighorn? You know, the who, where, what's, and stuff like that. And then in June, we're going to do the road show. We're taking it out to Claremont.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, same thing. How did the eastern part of the county, you know, come around to be? I mean, I know that it's all ranching out there, but I mean, there's cattle ranching, there's, you know, there's sheep, there's, you know, what other livestock, what other, you know, ranching and farming took place out there. So, yeah, we're trying to, you know, Sheridan County just isn't Sheridan, Dayton, Ranchester, and Bighorn. I mean, it, you know, we've got other communities. And so we want to take this history happy hour and bring your favorite cold beverage and let's talk about your community.
And these things are, I mean, they're pretty informal. People, this is more like a great big conversation, story swapping, things like that, right?
Exactly, exactly. And that's what, that's how it came about. And that's exactly what we want out of it is just people sitting around talking about, I mean, I was born and raised here in Sheridan. Someone else that was born and raised in Bighorn, I mean, they're going to be just as proud of Bighorn as I am of Sheridan.
Absolutely.
And maybe their grandparents, you know, settled in Bighorn. Well, what brought them to Bighorn? You know, what brought them to Story? You know, mom and dad had a summer house up in Story. Well, how did that come to be? You know, those kind of things. And those are the stories that only within the family does anybody know.
Yep. But they're so pivotal to the area.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I can remember my uncle was a range rider, worked for a lot of sheep ranchers. And, man, we'd sit around that fire on summer nights, because that's pretty much how I spent my summers.
Sure.
You know, up there riding and helping to herd around. But some of the stories that came out of there would just, I mean, you're laughing, you're crying, you're sitting there going, how did you make it out of there? You know,
exactly.
like really amazing things. And it just makes you wonder how many stories have been kind of lost.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
right.
And this area here has so much history attached to it.
Yeah.
That who knows what somebody may have run into, an interaction that somebody may have had. There's an old man named Glendo Draney over in Auburn, Wyoming. And his, I believe it was his parents, actually knew Butch Cassidy. And
oh, wow.
He used to ride up there and help out on their little ranch every now and then.
Yeah.
So, man, but he came to my school and talked about that.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
It's something that's not in any history books,
right.
But, you know, they were all friends back in the
yeah.
day.
Yeah.
So. And he was a hard worker. That's one thing I remember them saying is, boy, that guy'd show up and he worked all day long.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's one of the stories like that, isn't it, that people share during these interactions.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, I mean, we just, I mean, ask that right question and you get someone that knows, you know, a little bit about this or a little bit about that. And you just sit back and let them talk, you know. And then as the conversation starts to, you know, wane, ask another question. Or maybe, you know, they've asked a question that, you know, is a gap in their family's history. And someone else knows that answer. And then all of a sudden, you know, I mean, it's a great conversation. And,
yeah.
And, you know, Sheridan, I mean, yeah, we can talk about the Ritz. We can talk about a flood. We can talk about a lot of little things. But these smaller communities that have never really... I mean, yeah, Bighorn at one time was the largest of, you know, in Sheridan County. But, I mean, what is the history of Bighorn? I certainly
yeah.
don't know it.
Yeah, I don't know it.
I don't know it. But, you know, get some of the, you know, teachers, some of the ranch kids, you know, that have that history, that have, you know, maybe a memory book at home that grandma and grandpa, you know, started. You know, that's what, you know, that's what we need. And that's... You got to do something like that to keep it alive, to keep it going, or, you know, the story ends with us.
Yeah. And it's almost like community history at that point.
Exactly.
You know, which I think is absolutely fantastic, especially garnered by our community museum.
Yes.
And it just adds to everything a little bit more. And who knows, someone might even end up bringing an item, you know,
and that's, we didn't at first, it never crossed our mind, but, yeah, I mean, with the floods, we were able to bring in some of the blocks, the wood blocks that paved.
Oh, how fantastic.
And so it's like, if you have something like that, bring that in, you know. Bring in grandma's quilt. And, I mean, there's a story with that if you know, she wrote it down, if she told you about it. you know, there's, you know, maybe grandma's old mixing bowl that, you know that every biscuit, every pie, every, you know, whatever came out of that bowl. You know, I mean, it's a show and tell time. I mean, bring a cold beverage, bring, you know, a little.
Almost like a show and tell item.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I mean, like, at the same time, there's a reason why that event is so popular.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because it's fantastic to see this old item. You know, you and I were talking about, I found my dad's Vietnam trunk. That was a treasure trove, you know, with being a kid. You come across your father's history. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Can't even go into it. So one more time, tell me when and where the next one's going to be.
We're going to be up in Story, and it is April 19th. The where, we don't exactly know yet, but they can, you know, follow us on Facebook, check the museum's website, and we'll keep it posted there.
Fantastic. Chip, thank you so much for coming in this morning, my friend.
My pleasure.
Great to see you.
My pleasure.
Fantastic having you on here. All right, folks, when we come back, we're going to speak with the Volunteers of America and the Sheridan VA healthcare system. This is Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
A new year means new adventures. Make this year the start of your homeownership adventure with First Federal Bank and Trust. Our local team will guide you through the home loan process from start to finish. Explore our online tools 24/7, from customizable financial calculators to daily mortgage rates. Call us or stop by our home loan center to get pre-qualified or apply online today at efirstfederal.bank. At First Federal Bank and Trust, we're making home happen in Sheridan. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hello, I'm Elsa.
Hello, I'm Anna.
Hi, I'm Han.
Hi, I'm Kristoff.
We invite you to the Bighorn High School musical production of Frozen Jr., April 5th through April 13th at Bighorn High School.
Tickets are $13 and can be purchased at bighorndrama.com or at the door.
Please come and experience true love and acceptance between two sisters and their beautiful bond with your favorite snowman, Olaf. If you don't think you have time to go to the show, just let it go.
Thank you to Altitude Home Mortgage and Sheridan Media for their sponsorship of our musical.
We hope to see you at the show.
Time for new tires? Lucky for you, Midas is rolling out the best deals on brand name tires. Buy three, get one free with installation on Cooper, Hankook, and Toyo tires. Brakes needing service? Save $100 on brake repair this month at Midas. Time for an oil change? Save $20 on that too. And you could save $50 on a purchase of $400 or more, plus 6 months no interest with the Midas credit card. Put a spring in your drive and a little more green in your pump at Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
Spring into savings with Beautyrest at Carroll's Furniture. Save up to $800 when you purchase any Beautyrest black or black hybrid mattress and select adjustable base. Have a different mattress in mind? With our 22 different display models, you can still save hundreds on any Beautyrest black luxury base. Make your bedroom into the ultimate relaxation destination. Apply for financing at carrollsfurniture.com and get instant results. Carroll's Furniture at 340 North Main in Sheridan and on social media.
Soprano Nadine Sierra and tenor Benjamin Bernheim headline the Metropolitan Opera's revival production of Gounod's Romeo et Juliet, a sumptuous adaptation of Shakespeare's classic story recorded from the Met stage and brought to the YO Theater Saturday, April 6th. See one of the most romantic scores in the operatic repertoire here in Sheridan. Tickets are available now at the YO box office or online at yotheater.com. Romeo et Juliet, Saturday, April 6th at 10:55 a.m.
Synergy Shopominiums work and play where you live, combining both commercial and residential elements. On the ground floor, a large warehouse space with a full bath, conference office area, and a laundry. Upstairs, living area customized to fit your individual needs. Conveniently located on Sheridan's East Ridge Road. See the plans and photos on our Synergy Shopominiums Facebook page. Synergy Shopominiums. Reserve yours today. Call Sheridan Realty Associates for more information.
You hear about the wearing way of vehicle buying, but what does it mean? It means stepping onto their lot without the weight of pressure on your shoulders. It means finding the perfect vehicle without feeling rushed or pushed. At Waring Sheridan Chevrolet, their priority is taking care of you long after the sale. In fact, their commitment's just starting. The Waring team are your neighbors and your friends and members of our community. Don't settle for ordinary when you can experience the extraordinary. Discover the Waring way of vehicle buying, WaringSheridan.com.
Are your gas and grocery budgets taking a hit? We can help with that. Hi, this is Lisa Hansen, and we're back with another gas and grocery sweepstakes. You can win a $200 gift card to Ridley's and a $200 gift card to Farmers Co-op. All you have to do is enter the gas and grocery sweepstakes on the contest page at SheridanMedia.com for a chance to win. ERA, Carroll Realty, and Buffalo Realty, ERA powered. We're about more than real estate. We're about family, friendship, and community.
Good morning, and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For the second part of the show this morning, I am joined by Anthony Fairbanks from the Sheridan VA Healthcare System and Maggie Randall from the Wyoming Department of Workforce Services. Good morning, and welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Now, Anthony, what do you do for the VA?
I am the Community Employment Coordinator. It's a fancy title for I work with employers throughout the region, show them the benefits of hiring veterans, get them to commit to doing so, and then provide them the work opportunity tax credit paperwork to get reimbursed for that.
Really? So let me just ask you something kind of off the cuff here. Is it difficult to get people to hire veterans sometimes?
Luckily, in the state of Wyoming, I don't think we have that case. A lot of them see the benefits before I even come talk to them. Once I explain a few minor things, they are typically all on board. Some of my counterparts throughout the nation tend to have some issues, but luckily in the great state of Wyoming, we don't have that problem.
I didn't figure you guys would, but I mean, your job is still a challenge. It's not easy being up there. What are the benefits of working with a veteran?
Typically, you have veterans are definitely career-oriented, goal-driven. Once they feel a part of the community and feel a part of that organization, they're completely dedicated. They will do a lot to get that place to succeed because they are a part of that.
A team.
Yes.
I mean, they're really good about coming together as a team. And, you know, I can speak as a veteran, that a lot of it is like ownership. You know, it's not my platoon. Now it's Sheridan Media. That's, you know, the mission that I'm trying to accomplish here, whatever that mission is. And so veterans feel very much the same about that organization. I love how you say that. You bring them in, you make them feel like they're part of the team, and you've got yourself a vital link in that chain.
Absolutely.
No matter what the job is.
Mm-hmm.
Maggie, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing very well. What do you do for workforce services?
I am an employment specialist with the Employment and Training Department. So what I do is I help people build their resumes, do job searches, prepare for interviews, things of that nature. We do a lot of what we refer to as basic job seeker services. So if you need help building your resume, we have somebody that can help you with that. We have a new system for doing job searches and things of that nature. We also have computers, resume paper, anything you could possibly need to get ready for a job. We are there to help you with that.
Are there times working up the workforce services where you can kind of feel, maybe even gauge, how the economy's doing? I mean, are there days when it's like, man, we've been busy all day long? And then other days you're wondering if anyone's going to walk through that door?
Sometimes. I think around here we're definitely pretty seasonal. You know, things kind of ebb and flow with the construction season. We help a lot of people. We have a lot of walk-in traffic throughout the day. Summertime less so than wintertime, obviously, because people are usually working in the summer. So we do kind of ebb and flow with the economy. It kind of depends on what's going on in the area and what the weather's like. But yeah, we do kind of ebb and flow with the economy.
You know, I've used workforce services in the past, and I can remember walking in there and looking at that big pinup board. Now, that might date me, but standing, do we still have the old pinup board where the jobs are pinned on the wall?
We do not. There are so many jobs available that we've moved to an online system. So we have a new computer system called HireYO. where basically you can get on and you can apply for jobs right there. You can upload your resume. You can build your own profile. There's cover letter assistance. We have a really awesome resume builder in the new system. But yeah, all the jobs are now listed online.
Wow.
And you can look at any job within the state.
Well, that's fantastic. You guys have actually got resume tips and builder right there.
Yep.
That's
yep,
great.
Right within the system there. And if you need additional assistance, we also have people available to help you anytime.
Now, there's a job fair coming up, isn't there? Anthony, can you tell me where and when this is going to be taking place?
Yes, sir. It's going to be our 10th annual career fair. It's going to be at the Sheridan College's Golden Dome. And yes, I forgot the date on that. My apologies.
It's going to be right. April 24th from 11 to 4.
That's why you got a wingman, brother, right? Now, when it comes to who's going to be there, I mean, is this one of those instances where we're going to walk in, I'm a potential employee, and I'm just looking at a lot of different employers?
Yes, sir. Last year, we had approximately 110 employers.
Wow.
This year, we're going to be capped at that number. We're starting to fill up pretty quick. So if you're an employer, it's free to register. But I would suggest doing so sooner rather than later, because we will be at capacity this year, it seems.
Oh, that's great. Is that great? Or
yes.
Or is that kind of a, that's, we need some boots on ground?
I believe it's a good thing that we're going to be finally capped. I mean, it shows how many employers are seeing the value of this. And it's amazing for employees to walk in and see 100 employers out in front of you and be able to have those conversations.
And those options, right? Now, I've been to job fairs and walked around. I think the last one I attended was sometime in the 2000s. And I do believe it was something in Rock Springs. But I remember walking through there, and all of a sudden I'm seeing options that I didn't think I had before. You know, truck driver. Well, I never thought about doing that, but that looks like something I might want to do. Something I might want to try. People might be able to find something at this job fair that they never considered in the past, right?
Absolutely. One of the things that we're really focusing on this year is your ability to upgrade your employment. So what we've done is we want everybody to know that anybody is available to come to this. This is open to the public. Whoever wants to be there can be there. Even if you're currently employed, there's a chance that you might find an employer out there that's offering you something that you don't have in your current job. If you want better benefits or you want more flexible work options, things like that, there are employers out there that are going to have that available that will be at this job fair.
I like that, Maggie, because now we're looking at things like, okay, I might have a job, but can I get a better one? You know, I'm always hearing that there's a lot of openings out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I talk to a lot of different people in here, and the majority of them say, I need workers. There's a labor shortage. We got to get folks out there. So your options are vast.
Absolutely. It's definitely, in the post-COVID era, it's definitely more of a job seeker market than it is an employer's market. So job seekers have the option to be kind of choosy about where you want to work. If you want to do a certain thing and have certain benefits, flexibility, things like that, there are employers out there that are offering that. And I hate to say it, but if your current employer isn't offering you what you need, there's absolutely an opportunity out there with potentially with a different employer.
Well, I think it's great to say you got to take care of your own.
Absolutely.
First and foremost. Now, Maggie, what are some tips someone can do before they head down there to make them more appealing to potential employers?
My best advice that I can provide would be to plan like you're going to an interview. This is going to be a fantastic networking opportunity for people. And so you really want to dress for success, business casual, definitely wear something that you would wear to a potential interview for whatever job you're seeking.
Yeah.
Bring a copy of your resume. If you need extra copies, like I said earlier, you can get as many copies of your resume that you could possibly need at the Workforce Center. We're happy to print you extra copies of your resume, help you tweak things, add additional jobs, whatever you need. There's tons of resources out there available for people. If you need assistance with getting interview attire, we have access to different community resources that can provide those to you. So if you need assistance with that, please stop by the Workforce Center. We're happy to help you with that.
So if you don't have the clothes, you can get hooked up.
Absolutely. Yep. And we do have, we have a career readiness workshop coming up next week, April 1st through 3rd from 9 to 11. So we will have workforce specialists available to help people with resumes, help people with a few interview questions if you're struggling with that, kind of help you with the dress for success portion of things. We just really want people to be prepared for this career fair, because if you can put your best foot forward, then this is a fantastic networking opportunity for people.
Absolutely. And it opens up a little bit more options.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, like we were talking about, yeah, it's an employee's market, but you want to make sure that you're appealing to as many employers.
Absolutely. And in previous years, we've had a lot of employers that have been prepared to do interviews right there at the career fair. And we've had people get hired from the career fair, from an interview that was done at the career fair. So if this is something that you're looking to do to upgrade your life, upgrade your employment, whatever you're looking to do, there's a chance that you could meet the person that could help you do that.
You know, and that job fair that I was talking about that I attended back in the day, I felt like, okay, well, this is almost like a lip service. But that is not the case with this career fair. People are getting hired right there.
Absolutely.
Right then and there.
Yep,
so you
absolutely.
Could go home with a job that day.
Yep.
That's fantastic. Anthony, are you're, I imagine, going to be there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, sir.
So as a veteran, if I walked in there, I kind of don't know which way to go. Should I just come find you? Maybe just take a moment, chill out, have a conversation, and then you can maybe even direct me in the right way?
Absolutely. We've had that in years past where somebody seems a little out of place, a little nervous. We will walk around with them. If any vet wants to come down, I will be there. Anthony Fairbanks, grab me, and we can have a conversation ahead of time. But also, we have an amazing vocational rehab counselor at the VA. Her name is Amanda Bruno. She's going to be doing a class like the Workforce Services is doing. That's going to be on Wednesday, March 27th from 2 to 4. That's in Building 7, Room 219. Her phone number, if you'd like to pre-register for that, is 307-675-3819. She will get you all prepared like the Workforce Services can do also. This will be geared more directly towards veterans and how to do transferable skills with what you've done in the military, how to explain that to a potential employer. Yeah, she's amazing with doing those items.
And I think that's fantastic because, you know, some of these kids right out of high school into the military, they end up doing 7, 14, maybe even, you know, career. And that's all they know. But then you get out and you're like, well, how do I get a job? You know, I mean, it may seem pretty simple to other folks, but if you've given your life to the military up to that point, you really don't know how to go out and approach a civilian employer.
Absolutely. We run into that a lot. So that 18 to 25 year range typically is where our military veterans come from. They'd never had to fill out a job application. They've never had to fill out a housing application. They didn't have to meal plan. All of that was provided to them. And then when they get out, there is a lot of growth that non-veterans do in that 18 to 25 mm-hmm. that they've never experienced.
Yep, exactly. And I think a lot of people are great about that. They understand it. But I don't think they grasp the fullness of that, where it's like you experience a lot in the military. But you don't experience some of the day-to-day stuff that people have to take care of. And so there are classes and stuff that the military does offer that kind of prepare you to go in a civilian world. But it's a little bit difficult, and that's why it's fantastic having you there. So veterans, there's help there on the spot. Find Anthony. He can get you hooked up and attend that class. Wednesday, March 27th. Where'd you say that was going to be taking place, Anthony, one more time?
At the Sheridan VA, Building 7, Room 219. It's our Voc Rehab Center. They will do all your job prep, just like the workforce, get you your resumes, cover letters, get those printed out, have everything ready for you to attend the career fair.
That's fantastic. That's great that is being offered. Now, back to you, Maggie. Do you have some tips for preparing a resume? Because I once heard that a resume should not be more than one page. Even if you have a long work history, you should cut it down to be one page. Is that true?
It kind of what we see a lot of, the current statistic right now is that anytime an employer looks at someone's resume, they give you 15 seconds. So if you can put 15 seconds worth of valuable information on more than one page, then absolutely do so. If you aren't real sure what to put on your resume and you don't really have 15 seconds worth of value to put on that resume, there are things that we can do to make it stand out more. Things like good headers. Anymore, resumes are mostly electronic, so having color and things like that are really impactful for a lot of employers. But you also really want to make sure that you're highlighting your job skills and making sure that people know that you have 15 plus years of customer service and 10 plus years in custodial work or whatever your job skills are. Even if you're fresh out of high school, there are things that we can do to make your resume stand out to people so they don't just look at you and say, oh, you're a high school student, I don't really want you.
Yeah.
As long as you show that you're eager on your resume, there's a good chance that people will be willing to hire you. Sometimes it's better to have less experience just because that way you're a little bit more moldable for people.
And that's something that I've heard before too, you know, showing up to a job saying, I've never done this. And they look at me and say, perfect. Then you'll only know how to do it my way. But at the same time, you show up and you said, I've never done this. And they're like, well, now I got to take the time to train you. So, I mean, it all kind of depends on the employer on that, doesn't it?
I think it also is how you frame it. Walking up to someone saying, I've never done this is a little bit different than saying, I've never done this, but I'm willing to learn.
Yeah, yeah.
How you frame that to the employer is going to go way farther than the actual words that you say. And showing them that you're willing to learn and showing them that you're willing to show up and be on time and things like that, that'll go a really long way.
And on that, Maggie, we're already kind of talking about it, but how do I prepare myself? Do you have any tips for preparing for the big interview? I mean, that's kind of the most nerve-wracking part of trying to get a job, right? The one-on-one.
Absolutely. A lot of times these days we're seeing a lot of panel interviews more so than one-on-one interviews. The best thing I can say is show up on time or early. Dress for success. Be prepared to dress for that job. Look around in the business that you're wanting to work at and see how the other employees are dressed and dress somewhat similarly to that. And have questions ready for that employer because you're interviewing them as much as they're interviewing you.
Yeah.
So you want to know what their day-to-day culture looks like, what their benefits are, things like that, what your growth potential is in that job. You want to make sure that you're asking questions so that you can be successful in that job as much as them being successful in hiring you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, what is career preparation? Is that what we're talking about right here, or is that something completely different? I've never heard this term.
So career preparation, it starts at the resume, cover letter, interview preparation. But one of the things that we also work with our clients on is if you have a conflict at work and you're not really sure how to handle it, things like that aren't really things that you learn a lot about. Conflict resolution at work is a little bit different than conflict resolution in your daily life. So one of the things that we work on with our clients is how to handle conflict at work. And what do you do if someone's not nice to you or they ask you to do something that you're not comfortable with? Like your willingness to ask the questions and come in and ask us questions is kind of what helps you be prepared for your career in the long term. Because we want people to find sustainable employment, which means that they can do that job for a long time and they can be successful in that job and they can make a living wage and things like that.
Absolutely. Now, Anthony, where can veterans go if they're seeking a job, they can't make it to the fair, they just want to find you?
Yep, they can contact me. I can give you my contact information. And they can also contact Amanda Bruno. She is the Voc Rehab counselor. She has amazing contacts for that kind of stuff. But if you'd like to contact me, Anthony Fairbanks or Anthony.Fairbanks at va.gov. My work cell phone number is 307-675-3667. Be more than happy to work with you, get you set up for whatever you need there. But also we have amazing Voc Rehab counselors up at the Sheridan VA that do that full time all the time. The one thing that I would recommend people prepare for is tailor your resume and your cover letter to the job you're looking for also.
Don't make just like a generic one, right?
Absolutely, yes, sir. Because certain jobs within the federal government, if your resume is less than 5 pages, it's out of place.
Oh, wow, really?
Yep. So certain places, like the government, do things a little bit different than the civilian sector, as most people already probably know.
Man, I didn't. Wow. And in government jobs, they're kind of hard, tough to get sometimes, aren't they?
Yes, sir, especially right now. There's kind of a slowdown on the hiring. We're still hiring, but we prioritize vets more so than anybody else. But, yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. They already know the pay system, right? Already know how that rolls. Now, what about a civilian, Maggie? If someone's out there and they're like, you know, well, I'm not a veteran, but I sure as heck need a job, where do they go for information or seek some more assistance?
They can absolutely access our website, which is just hireyo.com, or they can call the workforce center, or any workforce center in the state of Wyoming can help them. I'm not sure what our general workforce center phone number is, but you guys are welcome to call me directly. My phone number is 307-675-5468. I'm Maggie Randall. I am a workforce specialist, but we also have a number of other workforce specialists available if you need assistance with things. We do have a disabled veterans outreach person. If you need additional assistance or you need help with retraining or anything like that, we can work to connect all of those pieces for you as well. If the VA doesn't have what you're looking for, we might be able to connect you with Rick Birchall is his last name. He would be able to help you with that as well.
Folks, don't be afraid of the Wyoming Department of Workforce Services. They've got a lot of great programs up there that can really help kickstart your new career. Don't be afraid to head on down there. Ask for help. That's why they're there. That's why we pay them to be there. Maggie, Anthony, I want to thank you both so much for coming in, speaking with me. I'm kind of relieved to hear it is an employee's market out there. So make sure that you hit this job fair, folks. I'm going to have the date time up online for you so that we don't forget. And we'll be down there looking for a new career. Who knows what you can find. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Have you ever wondered what makes First Federal Bank and Trust unique? We're a mutual bank, which means our focus is on you. Unlike other banks, we don't pay shareholders, we pay our community. At First Federal Bank and Trust, your financial interests drive our decisions. Bank with us and experience the mutual bank difference, where the power of community fuels your financial success. First Federal Bank and Trust is Sheridan's only mutual bank. Member FDIC.
...103.9 FM and News Talk 930, KROE, Sheridan.
KROE!
Cruise.com. This experience is way more than a vacation. It's a chance to participate in spirited discussions and thought-provoking lectures on board the ship with like-minded patriots. 7 action-packed days will chart a course toward a bright American future, all while surrounded by Alaska's rustic and natural wonders on a beautiful luxury cruise ship. You'll experience powerful creation immersed in the splendor of glaciers and fjords. Mark your calendar, June 29th, July the 6th. Secure your cabin by calling 855-565-5519 or book online at patriotsalaskacruise.com.